What is up, sexy people? It is Dave. It is Duncan, back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. For this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from Austin Doomwop Trio, Rickshaw Billy's Burger Patrol. The band's new album, Big Dumb Riffs, will be released on March 22nd via Permanent Teeth. So, hot on the heels of their breakout fifth studio release, Doomwop, Rickshaw Billy's Burger Patrol returns with Big Dumb Riffs, a whole new variant of the fuzzed out, overdriven, melodic, groovy music they've been making since 2016. While Big Dumb Riffs is decidedly more aggressive and rhythmic, it still retains the overtly melodic feel of Doomwop. But Leo Lydon's vocals are considerably more angry and negative. Our catalogue has never been short on Big Dumb Riffs, but the idea on this record was to really turn the screw, says bassist Arn. On Big Dumb Riffs, that screw is cranked incredibly tight. We just wanted the part. Opening of Pantera's Primal Concrete Sledge, the breakdown in Primus's Pudding Time, the shit that makes you move and lose your mind. Just the part, the whole time. Across 11 concise, taut songs, most clocking in around 2 minutes or less, Mobili's Burger Patrol demonstrates their skillful ability to blend the merciless low end of Leo Lydon's 8-string guitar, Aaron's masterful chord work on the bass, and Sean St. Germain's driving drumming. The whole writing process was, what if we just played two notes the whole song? What if we tune down to almost unusable string tension? What if we write a record that will make everyone say, wow, that is dumb? Leo and I really move around on stage a lot. Being a dingus is crucial to the groove. All these riffs were designed to allow us to act bigger and dumber on stage. So, Duncan. Rickshaw Billy. I'd never heard
Peek behind the curtain time, guys.
Oh yeah. I'd never heard of these guys before. And then I was on Spotify and I was clicking through there's like a Discover Weekly playlist, which Spotify kind of generates for you. And I was flicking through it and I clicked on the first track and it was a track called Whip It Around. By a band called Rickshaw Billy's Burger Patrol. And I was like, instantly saw the name and I was like, what? What is this? Let's play that track. It looks kind of short. We'll play it. And I remember playing the track and I was only like 20 seconds in and I was like, oh shit. This is my jam. This is what I need.
Just to stress, this track is under a minute length
as
well.
That's true, yeah. I played it about 5 times. And then I messaged you and I was like, listen to this. You need to check out Rickshaw Billy. You need to check out this track.
And interestingly enough, without the context of that description there, I did think it sounded like the closing riff to heavy. You know, like when bands we're going to fade out with this fucking tasty, tasty riff. Yeah. But that was just the bit they'd done. Just going to play the tasty riff for 55 seconds and that's it.
So after hearing that, I thought I need to find this band. I need to find out, is this from a release? Is this something that's coming out? So I did a bit of research, found the band, found out they had an album coming out on the 22nd of March, and I then
cue the montage of Dave in the movie Dune walking across sand in time to try and find the PR company. I must have this release. And so, I've never heard of Rickshaw Billy's Big Burger Patrol or the riffs that are dumb.
No. Spoke to the band. They put me in touch with the publicist. Thank you to the band.
They went right to the source.
Right to the band. Thank you to the band. Thanks to the publicist for sending us the album. Much appreciated. I've said this before, but this is the reason, Duncan, that I do this. I just love finding bands like this. Like, I love unearthing these gems that no one is talking about, or some people are talking about, but not enough people are talking about. And, you know, I got a message the other day on Twitter from someone saying, like, thanks so much for finding all these kind of, like, unknown bands that I would never known about. You know, like, I've found so many releases because of you guys. And that's what kind of keeps me going, keeps me doing this, and bands like this.
Yeah, I want to stress, like, bands approach us with our stuff. PR companies are sending out these albums to us, but they're sending them out to everywhere else as well. It's just everywhere else as well are not reviewing them.
Yeah.
Which is, to me, it's fucking criminal. like, I'm glad that, I've said before, I would much rather spend, you know, 20 hours talking about bands that no one was talking about than spend 30 minutes talking about the new Machine Head album. So,
yeah. So, anyway, on to the album.
This is this year's Tankzilla. Yeah.
This is so much fun. Like, this is such a fun album. If you're looking for an album that's just going to make you smile for its entirety, then Big Dumb Riffs is it. And the album kind of lives up to its name, to be honest. Like, when I was listening to it, I was like kind of picturing like other bands and other sounds, trying to kind of concoct like where this kind of sound is coming from. And I've got a bit of like the kind of blunt force power of a band like Psycore. That's a throwback to way back.
Yep.
But imagine them with like 8-string guitars. mix that with like the quirk of like Primus. And then like add in some like almost kind of like tongue in cheek of like early Bloodhound Gang or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that it kind of gives you a rough idea of what kind of album has been put out by Rickshaw Billy.
My thoughts were, this is Tony Danza's tap dance extravaganza. But if they were being sarcastic to you, you know, if you played their own note, they're like, that's like the whole album is that. I fucking love it.
Yeah. This is an album that's is driven by two things. Firstly, riffs, right? And those riffs, like, those riffs aren't the most like technical or like multi-dimensional, but have a character and a very addictive quality about them. And it makes them very, very much instantly memorable. Plus they're heavy. Like, this is, you're talking 8-string guitars. The tuning is very low. You know, it's very girthy, very thick sounding. And the tone's cool. The tone's like a kind of like mix of like fuzz and djent kind of paired together.
You know what it is? It's very, very early 90s kind of bands that were making that transition from grunge into new metal.
Yeah.
They've somehow managed to encapsulate that sound and then detune it. Like, detune it to a level it wasn't supposed to be detuned.
Yeah, it has a bite to it. Like, that kind of, like, the djent sound obviously has a bite to it, but this has, like, a weight of, like, sludge or stoner kind of to it as well. So you've got the riffs on one side, which are awesome, like killer riffs. But then you add to that these really like quirky lyrics and a almost kind of like Primus-esque kind of vocal delivery on the album. And what you end up with is like 11 tracks that all have their own personality or individuality, but at the same time are very well kind of perfectly matched with each other as well, tonally. I've rinsed this a lot. Like, I've listened to this quite a lot.
But it also has the saving grace of being 21 minutes long.
It is 21 minutes, yes.
See, in between Teams calls at work, you can spin this bastard. Yes. You'd be like that. I've got half an hour. I'll listen to it like this one time through, maybe a half again.
Yeah. It's one of those.
I got a row about this album. Can I just stress this?
Right.
A row from my better half, because I unknowingly was walking around in the kitchen preparing dinner yesterday. Thanks to the band for this. As my 2-year-old was doodling on her reach, that wee whiteboard that's on the on the fridge, and she was diddling on that. And my wife came through and gave me a row because I was subconsciously walking about going 1-800 each,
yes,
like that, without realizing I was doing it. And she was like, fucking, wait, I don't know, what do you mean she's like that? Eat shit? I was like, yes, that is. So I became 1-800-EAT-SHIZ. Eat shiz.
That's the thing though, like it's one of those albums that you'll hear once and you'll smile right through it.
Yeah.
And the second time you'll be singing along with it to some of the most ridiculous lyrics you've ever heard. I was the same. I was singing 1-800-EAT-SHIT on my way to work. Like I was just like screaming it out loud. That's why my voice is absolutely wrecked.
That's why Dave ruined his voice. Are you happy now, Rickshaw? Billy's Burger Patrol? Yeah. Are you happy now?
Once it's in there, it ain't leaving at all. I just kind of love the personality of these guys. Like it's this album is soaked in their personality. But they've constructed these songs in a way that keeps you wanting more. Every song changes, like the tempo or the rhythm changes, and it kind of gives you a different slant on what they've done previously. Lyrically, there's always a line or a hook in each track that differentiates it from the rest of the album. I also love the fact that they don't give a fuck about song lengths. Like, who cares about that? Some tracks are less than a minute, but they work perfectly. Like, if you take a track like Whip It Around, that track has one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to get in, drop the hook, groove like a son of a bitch, and then move on to the next track.
55 seconds long, not the shortest song on the album.
No, it's not. But that's all it takes, less than a minute, and it's an instant hit with you. Like, it's in your head, and that's you. Great hook, like, absolutely killer groove. And like I was like, have they always done this? Like is this their fifth or sixth album or something? I went back and I listened to the previous album, Doomwop. Those tracks are slightly longer, so you're talking like between 2 and kind of 4 minutes for most of those. Whereas on Big Dumb Riffs, they've been much more ruthless in making tracks as long as they need to be. And I think that's made this album even catchier than the last one. Vocally as well, I really enjoyed the style, and lyrically again, probably more infectious than the previous album. My only small complaint is on the last album there was a bit more variety vocally, where they had these sections of melody and some kind of cleaner tones. Now there is a bit of that on here, but it happens right at the very end of the album, which I'll come on to.
And it's done deliberately at the end of the album.
Yeah. But yeah, that previous album had probably more of a kind of Dinosaur Jr. kind of influence kind of coming through, which I think probably made it more interesting overall on the vocal front. But they did say up front on this one, this was going to be more aggressive vocally than Doomwop. So they've kind of stuck to the brief on this one. And with this album being 21 minutes long, it's not like it overstays its welcome. You know, it never gets boring or monotonous at any point at all. The last track is called In a Jar. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of one track that slightly deviates from the sound on the rest of the album.
It's the longest song, a whopping ridiculous single length, 3 minutes 40 seconds. Exhausted I was when I got to the end of it.
Yeah. This one hears them go a bit more fuzzy, a bit more stonery. It reminded me massively of a band called Touch Fuzzy, Get Dizzy from Chico, California. Loved that band. Universe Sandwich, absolute classic album. The riffs on this track were a bit more melodic, a bit more fuzzy, less that kind of like staccato kind of groove that they had on the previous tracks. And vocally, they bring in these clean melodies, which were fucking awesome. Like,
yeah. Really good,
just as hooky as well as the rest of the album. And it's an absolute like final kind of point on the end of the album. It finishes on a completely different vibe, but it ended up being one of my favorite tracks on the album. I thought it's a fantastic closing track. In terms of the kind of sound of the album, I think the production they've opted for is exactly what is needed for these tracks. It's tight, it's fuzzy, it's got huge size, but most of all, it's got character. This is not a cookie cutter production. This is shaped and produced for that rickshaw Billy sound. And I really appreciate that. These guys have, as I said, so much personality in this band sound. And it was nice to hear that they follow that through into the production of the album as well. Yeah, I had an absolute ton of fun with this, as I expected, after hearing just one track. It is chock full of grooves, hooks, memorable moments, and the end track is that kind of like icing on the cake for me. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Loved it. Duncan, what did you make of Big Dumb Riffs?
Yeah, this is my jam. Like I said before, this reminds me of a particular time period that I was like kind of forming my taste in metal.
Mm.
And a lot of that was like very rhythmic, a lot of syncopated vocal delivery, a lot of quirk. Mm-hmm. I think about the bands I was listening to in the mid to late 90s, and they were all quirky. Like, yeah, they were all quirky, whether it was a full-on new metal quirk, or I went through a huge Primus phase in like circa 99, 2000, where I was just like, who are these guys? Why is it so fucking amazing? So yeah, they have like, it's a quirkiness about them that's really endearing.
Mm.
Some people get put off by those sorts of elements. To me, I'm in. What Big Dumb Riffs delivers over and over again, and if you put it just purely on the merit of the headbang ability of the riffs, this would be the easiest five you would ever give out. There's not one riff on this where you don't feel your head going, yeah, fucking yeah. It's just front to back, just designed to make you smile and bang your head. So infectious, so catchy, and really playful, yet at times deceptively smart.
Yeah.
The track that I think starts to really show that is Brat, which, like, for the uneducated, is not a polyrhythm, but like, you, I can imagine people got that going, oh, polyrhythms. It's not. It's just that, you know, they're playing over six, but the riff's over five. It's very, 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 very smart. Mm. And it's not like, it's like a it's not, you know what I mean? It's, they're not doing anything ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's so different from Bodybag before or El Sapo, the track that comes after, that it completely stands out. And that's what you have. Every single track has, sounds the same production. They're not like adding elements that vastly change them, but they change the pace, they change the delivery, or the rhythm on every single song is different. And as a result of that, kind of the same way that really good grindcore can deliver bite-sized pieces of like ferocity, mm-hmm, but it doesn't sound like one long song because of how the albums are pieced together.
Yeah.
This has a lot of that. It has that structure where the tracks are never exactly the same beside each other or never bleed too much into it. I think that's really, really, really smart. The vocal delivery is great on this. He has a kind of higher pitch, almost Fred Durst-esque register that he delivers them, and it is all rhythmically delivered. But what I love about him is he will at times focus purely on that beat and then will just go off to the offbeat to deliver things, and he drifts in and out between the two, and it mixes up. It's like surprisingly more difficult to do if you are a musician playing the stringed instrument that's playing on the beat to then start mixing that timing up. It's handled really, 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 really well. I think, like you, I was floored by In A Jar compared to the rest of the album. I have not checked out any of the previous stuff, so I didn't realise that was an element they had. In A Jar, to me, has a little bit of the grunge about it, a little bit of the alt grunge from, once again, that kind of mid-90s era. And it's fucking great. And the fact that they can be reserved enough to keep that in the pocket to the end is well played, guys. Yeah. It's a stunning close to the album for me. It was a track that really resonated. And it feels more serious than everything else before.
Yeah.
So they finish on a much more kind of somber, serious note compared to the rest, which is having so much fucking fun. And you're singing about eating shit and papas are popping it and peanut butter snack sticks, which I would eat the shit out of. It's It's a really, really, really well put together, really, really fun, quirky, clever album with the focus on the riffs. Mm. Like, I know it seems almost asinine to say that, but bands don't always put the best riffs, every best riff they've ever written in every single song.
Yeah.
It's just not how things work. Because if you're writing a 4-minute song, chances are you have to put something in that quietens things down or fills things up to add those textures.
Yeah.
When you don't have to have when you don't have to have songs that go over a minute and a half, you can really just ride a riff.
Yeah.
And play a couple of variations on it and close. And that's kind of what they do here. Mm. But that's not to say it's just one riff for a minute. Like Bastard Initiated, which is close to the end, it's just about a minute in length, and it goes thrashy, but it also goes groove, and the riff modifies about 3 or 4 times in that one song.
Mm.
So it's not just that one riff to the end. Love it.
Yeah.
I think they're a great find. I had a fucking ball listening to this. The last thing you mentioned was the production. It's crunchy.
Yeah.
And it kind of fits them perfectly. There is an inclination when you start playing on 8-string guitars to really fine polish and tune that sound. And yeah. I think if you did that, the band's personality would be null and void.
Yep.
So the fact that they keep that in there, they keep it authentic, and they actually make it sound like a bygone era while still being heavier than anything that would have ever come out in that era is just awesome.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a fucking great find. I, like yourself, have spun this to fucking death. It's too easy. It's too easy not to.
Yeah.
This is like, this to me has got me through a couple of treadmill runs, and I'm like that. I want that 20-minute 5K.
Mm.
Rickshaw Billy's Burger Patrol is the soundtrack to put on, because if I ain't finished by the time that album finishes, I've failed.
Yeah. Nice. So final thing. Scores for Big Dumb Riffs. I think when I was listening to the album, I was already pretty high, to be honest. Like, as I was going through it, I was like, this is like everything that I love in a groovy, heavy album. And then when I got to like the second to last track, I was like, oh, this is an easy kind of 4.5 for me. And then they dropped in that last track, and I was like, shit, did they just level up to a 5? Did they just like level up there? And then afterwards, and I've listened to this, like, as I said, a ridiculous amount of times. I don't know what I would change about it, to be honest, if anything. Mm. Like, and at first I thought maybe vocally there could have been some more variation in there. But then I thought that the melodic vocals probably wouldn't have worked with those other tracks. Whereas the stuff on Doomwop did have a bit more melody in the guitar, so I could see how they've mixed that in. Here, I don't think it would have worked on other tracks, but it works perfectly on that last track. I love this. I'll play the shit out of this. It's only 21 minutes, so I'll definitely come back to it a shitload this year. I'm going to drop a wee 5 on this one. Duncan, what are you thinking?
I'm joining you. This is an absolute no-brainer. It's not... I think some people get snobby about their 5s, right? Mm. And that's to be reserved for the most virtuoso, most complicated, most original thing you've ever heard. And I think when you are analysing music at that granular level, you're not asking the question, did I enjoy it?
Mm.
Right. And that's, I am a feeling guy. Every grade that I do on whether I'm reviewing movies or whether I'm reviewing music comes down to how did I feel at the end of this?
Yeah.
And what would I change? Like, if it's not at the maximum, what would I have done to make it the maximum mark? Yeah. And very, very quickly into the second spin of Rickshaw Billy's Burger Patrol, less than a half an hour with this band, first time out, I realised that the band have a fully defined sound that you can't really fuck with. Like, I wouldn't want to fuck with a second of this. The fact that they're in on the joke is kind of what sells it for me. It's kind of what makes it the 5.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they were trying to take things too serious, like I said before, to try to fuck with that production even a little bit, then I'd be like, I think this is almost a vehicle to kind of try and pull the wool over my eyes. But this is as authentic an album as you're going to hear from a band that 100% know what they want to sound like.
Yeah.
and there's not a there's just not a bad riff here.
Mm.
No one's breaking their brain to try and work out how they played them.
Yeah.
But they're structured in such a way that you just, every single riff is just like, that's perfect. Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is the easy, easy five. And if you don't like that, you can dial 1-800 each.
Rickshaw Billy's Burger Patrol, Big Dumb Riffs, out on March 22nd on Permanent Teeth. Links below to the band, to the pre-order. Check it out. Have a listen to some of the singles. I'll put a link to one of the videos in there as well. Fucking awesome. Have a listen, enjoy. That is the review. Until next time, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.